He throws. Buster hits a fly ball. Deep to right field. Way back there. Adios! Pelota! On a 3-0 count, Buster Posey sends one to the opposite field, and it cleared the arcade and hit the top of one of those water cannons out there. 2-0 Giants.
Oh, man, what a moment at Oracle Park last year. That was the last home run Buster Posey would ever hit. And 925 on the Cash Creek text line checked in and says, what a darn shame that Buster's last home run hit that water tower cannon. Would have been the first opposite field home run in the yard in history to be a splash hit. Here to talk about it. And Willie Mays' birthday is my good friend, Marty Lurie. You hear him on weekends before Giants, every Giants game. You hear him tomorrow, and you'll hear him on Sunday talking baseball with Marty Lurie. He joins us on the UMA guest line. Marty, good to have you on, man. How are you?
Boy, thanks, Copes. It's a pleasure to be here. I thought Tom may be here in town. I was going to tell him his team may have a chance this year.
Well, I said to him, you guys learned how to pitch. And he said, shh, stop talking about it. Don't really? Don't tell anybody we can do that.
He has suffered. He has suffered, believe me, with the Angels, the Halos, right, as we call them.
Yeah, the Halos. So let's first talk a little Buster Posey. We're taking you up to pregame. We'll be done at about 6:15. We'll stop before that, though, Marty. But I want to ask you about Buster Posey. I was asking the listeners earlier, and we ran through a bunch of the Buster Hugs highlights. Sam Huestis made a great video of all the great Buster Hugs in chronological order, from the division win in 2010 all the way up to Chris Heston's no-hitter with the Giants. When you think Buster Posey, what's the moment that comes to mind for you?
Well, like most people, it's Latos.
Right.
It's the Cincinnati Grand Slam. Because, look, the Giants were down in that series 2-0 after Sunday. They got walloped. Arroyo pitched a shutout. And things didn't look good. And all of a sudden, they're back, and they win the crazy game in 10 innings. And then the next day, Zito's knocked out, and they still win that game. And then he comes up to that fifth game, and it's Matt Latos again. And, you know, how are the Giants going to do? Are they going to go forward? And he gets into that fourth inning, and he hits the grand slam over Latos' name. And the Giants go on to win that game and, of course, win the World Series.
You know, the funniest part about that video, and I was watching it this morning, just reliving it. I'd skip class with my roommate. We skipped class to get home to watch Game 5. We told our teacher we had something going on, so we ran home to watch it. It's Ryan Hannigan's reaction when Buster makes contact, because he knows immediately the second he made contact. And the game wasn't over. The Reds actually threatened again after that. But the reaction from Ryan Hannigan is the part I love most.
No, I love it. And, you know, we forget what a good hitter Buster Posey was. And, you know, you watch the game today and you see the way the ball flies and everything else. For his whole career, and of course when he had the hip problems, you know, he didn't have the greatest years for those couple of years. But when you watch today's game and you think of all the hitters, the great hitters, he's one of them.
Yeah.
And he could go the opposite way. He could go up the middle. He could pull the ball. And we forget what a great hitter he was. 1,500 lifetime hits, but I'm telling you, it's almost like every one of his hits mattered with Posey. Every time he got a hit, it mattered.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, Jeremy Affeldt was on with us earlier, and he was talking about how he kind of knew when Buster was playing that he wasn't going to be the lifer type of guy, but that he got the most out of the game because he put the most into the game in ways that he never showed anybody up. He said he never hit a home run and hopped up to first base or did a little pirouette or fist pumped a bunch. He'd hit a home run, he'd put his head down, and he'd run the bases, and he said he'd strike out, and he'd put his head down, and he'd tip his cap and say, well, maybe I wasn't looking for that pitch, or he'd throw me a pitch I couldn't hit, and he'd go back and put his gear on. He seemed like he was an old-school type of player who just went about his business.
Yeah, like Jeff Kent.
Yeah,
the same type of personality, like a Jeff Kent. He just did his job, and if he made an out, he put the bat down, the helmet down, and he went off. So I think when you look at Posey and you look at his career, you have to look at the clubhouse, because he ran the clubhouse. There's no question about it. He was the one guy who got the respect in the clubhouse. If there was an issue, if there was something that had to happen between the manager and a player or a coach and a player, Posey was the guy who was in the middle of so much of it, and he ran the clubhouse. As much fun as Crawford and Belt have with the Brandons and all that kind of stuff, Posey was the guy. And when you look at 2010, right to the day he retired, Posey was the guy who made that clubhouse special.
Yeah, he was essentially the captain. You know, the Giants don't hand out. I know we joke that Brandon Belt is the captain, and he was self-proclaimed and all that. But you look at the old-school captains across baseball, your Thurman Munsons, your Derek Jeters, Jason Varitek. You can name a bunch of them from legendary teams across the game. If the Giants were to have one, he could have been the guy with the C on his chest.
Well, and that's the way he looked at the game, you know, because, you know, they played the game correctly, whether you want to get into old school, old rules, unwritten rules and all that kind of stuff. You know, Posey was a guy who played the game the way he believed it should be played. And if the Giants varied from that, he'd be the guy that got hit. And he didn't like
right,
that.
Right.
So it was important that he said, look, this is the way we play the game. Otherwise, they're going to hit me. And that was an important part of him. But catching that pitching staff, I mean, honestly.
It's unbelievable.
You know, to come in 2010 and right around this time of year, just another few weeks would have been his debut, and to walk in and catch that pitching staff and to take him through three World Series. The guy played in 58 playoff games. 58 playoff games, and they only lost one series, and that was a fluke when the Cubs beat him. So everything he did on the ball field was as a pro, and he made a difference. And really, I can't say enough about the career he had and how much he meant to the ball club.
You know what's funny to think about is I was talking to Tom about this earlier, just looking at the Cardinals roster, right? There are guys on the Cardinals who were playing before Buster Posey like got out of high school. You know what I mean? Like Albert Pujols came up in 2001. Buster debuted at the end of 2009. By the time Buster debuted in 2009, Albert Pujols had two MVPs. He was about to win his third, and he was like an 8-time All-Star and a Rookie of the Year and a Gold Glover and a Silver Slugger. That guy's still out there playing, Marty.
That's wonderful. I mean, he's one of the great players of all time. Wainwright is still out there, obviously.
Yachty.
He went on the COVID list today. But yeah. I have a question for you.
Okay.
And that is, whose career would you take, Yadier Molina or Buster Posey?
Boy. Well, I'm biased. I'll start with that. I'll qualify it with that. I'm biased because I watched Buster Posey's entire career. I've followed Yachty for a long time, and I've always had affection for the Molinas just because Benji was here, and I remember Benji, and I think maybe even Jose also saying our younger brother is going to be the best one, and Yachty will likely be the best when it's all said and done. You know, Yachty's played for such a long time, and he wasn't the offensive player at the beginning of his career that he became, and he's beloved in St. Louis the way we love Buster here. How many titles does Yachty have, two or three?
Just a couple.
He's got two.
That's the difference.
I think I'd take Buster's. He's got the MVP. He's got the batting title. He doesn't have the gold gloves that Yachty has, and that's because of Yachty. He doesn't have as many. But where do you come down on it? Would you go Buster or Yachty?
I'd go Buster for the World Series and for everything that he did. I mean, the 2012 MVP. He led the league. Come on, he led the league in hitting.
Yeah.
A 3-time World Series champion, a Rookie of the Year. Now, don't forget, he came up in May, the end of May, and he still was Rookie of the Year in 2010, a 7-time All-Star. His lifetime OPS, .831. So, you know, you go up and down the list, 5 times a Silver Slugger and all that kind of stuff. So, because he won and because he was the guy who hit third in the lineup. Now, Yachty never hit third to carry the team. This guy carried the team, and he is special. And the other question I have is, who has an easier time getting in the Hall of Fame? Will it be Yachty or Molina or Buster Posey?
I think Yachty will because of the longevity. I think the numbers are going to look better for Yachty just because how many hits does he have? He's got to have over 2,000.
Yeah, like 2,100.
Yeah, and Buster's at 1,500 or so in 12 years. But Yachty's played much longer. So, you know, I always think about that Hall of Fame question when they say, you know, can you tell the story of the game without this person? Mm-hmm. You can't tell the story of baseball in this decade or that decade without Buster Posey.
That's right.
I mean, he came up and he wins he did everything you could do. We just talked about all the accolades and awards, and we played the Buster Hug montage a couple of minutes ago. The guy caught, was it 3 no-hitters he caught? He caught the perfect game. He caught Tim Lincecum's first.
Right, that's right.
Because Hector Sanchez caught the second one, and then he caught Chris Heston.
Heston.
The guy caught 3 no-hitters. That's not an accident, you know?
No, I think the world is changing. And as we say, that you're not going to see 300-game winners anymore. You may see one or two 500 home run guys, 3,000 strikeouts. You know, all those benchmark numbers that would get you into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, it's not the same. You get in, you know, Kershaw could get in with 190 wins or something like that.
And he probably should, yeah.
Yeah, but we look at baseball differently now, and that's where Posey comes in. He may not have all the numbers, you know, that Hall of Famers have, but when you look at his career, and that you brought it up and you said it perfectly, you can't tell the story of this era of baseball without him. And look, this team was tremendous. How many Hall of Famers do they have? And it's probably just him.
Yeah, because I
mean, other than the manager,
and that's the one that I wonder about is when we look through the history of baseball after we, because we're going to see a wave of guys get in that are like Buster Posey, right? That don't have maybe the same gaudy numbers career wise, right, but have achieved everything the game has to offer and were elite at their position for a decade plus. I wonder how we'll view guys who sort of did that before, like a Tim Lincecum, who was just a comet across the sky of baseball. He didn't have the longevity, but what else could you ask that guy to do?
Not much, but you need the longevity. You need something like that. I mean, Koufax or Kirby Puckett and, you know, people who, you know, went out early for injuries and things like that, they make exceptions. But I think you need the longevity. I think that's important. You brought up a very good question. I know we got to run here. Before, and that is, what era is the golden era of Giants baseball?
I meant to ask you that. Where do you come down on that? The Hall of Famers era with the five or the team that won three?
Well, I'm a little bit further than that. I think the golden era of Giants baseball started with Brian Sabian. Ooh. When Brian Sabian came here in 1997, all of a sudden this team was in the playoffs year after year, the World Series. He rebuilt the team, and he rebuilt the team into you-know-what, and he stayed until, 2016 at that period of time. So for me, 1997 through 2016 and the amount of times he put this team in the playoffs and rebuilt the team, managers getting Felipe, Dusty, Bochy. I think it's Brian Sabian's era, and that to me is the golden era. Now, the 60s were fabulous, but the Giants were the only story in town. And they own the Bay Area. The Hall of Famers were fabulous, and they live on forever, including Willie, thank God, who's 91
happy
today.
Happy birthday, Willie.
You know, but they didn't win. They didn't win World Series. Something always happened. They went through a half a dozen managers. They never had enough pitching and all that. So for me, those thrills, and I love the montage you played of all those moments. That's it for baseball. And you could have gone back to 2002, even though they lost in 97, 99, 2000. The whole thing. That to me was the golden age. Sabian's years.
I'm with you. You're not going to get an argument from me. I'd love to keep talking about this. We do have to run so we can get to pregame, Marty. I'll just end it with the 1960s years. We'll end it with the Charles Schulz comic from Charlie Brown. Why couldn't McCovey hit the ball 3 feet higher over Bobby
and Willie Richardson? Willie said it's the hardest ball he ever hit in his life, and he never got out of the box.
Oh, man.
Never got out of
all
the box.
All right, Marty, well, I'll join you on Sunday. We'll talk then, huh?
Look forward to it.
All right, thanks
Adam.
A lot, Marty. Thanks for coming on. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll send you off to Giants pregame game two against the Cardinals right here on these